Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Monday was better.
I thought they were better.
They're terrible.
They're breakdown.
I'm gonna openly say that right now on the show. I don't like Mudvayne.
Because of the breakdowns? But you want your hardcore to be hardcore, don't you?
Yeah, I was like, that's what I want. That's a little better. I don't, his regular singing voice sounds like there's cum in his throat. When he's just doing normal notes, it sounds like he's gargling jizz.
Yeah, it's not tough at all.
And they were also sort of a wannabe Slipknot. Remember Slipknot came out and they were like, we were like, all right, fine, you're wearing dumb masks, but you're pretty cool still. Regardless, fine. You guys are pretty cool. And then Mudvayne came out, we're like, okay, doggies, we got room for one mask band.
I think Slipknot signed them.
Is that what it was?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Well, Slipknot was a super group. People don't. They were just like four other bands.
Yeah, they weren't really a super group, though, because none of those bands had made
it. But from that area, and they were all just like, yo, none of us are successful.
The best musicians from all the bands got together, right?
This was like a trend from like, this was like 2001, where it was like a trend with all these bands, right?
This is where I started comedy right around that time, a little bit later than that, but I've sort of been stuck in that era. I will not, I'm stuck in time.
Yeah.
I'm living my life like it's 2002 every single day.
So this is an unfrozen podcast there.
Hell yeah. This is it, man. I'm not going to move on. I spent my entire years developing, right? I'm 37 years old, okay? In the year 2000, I turned 18, right? That's when I graduated high school. So all my years, all my formative years, all the years that I was developing my personality, everything that is great about me, all of the things that made me the funny comedian,
that
brilliant broadcaster that I am, all of those things were built up during an era of sexual harassment, an era of fucking, you know,
hardcore music.
Yeah, just
aggressive
shitty
music.
New metal.
Yeah.
You know, right when MTV got bad, that's like me.
Yeah, like, this is me, yo, right here.
Yeah.
This is it.
That's it. So
you're just living in it.
And now I'm supposed to change. Now they want me to change, which is fucking crazy.
You're like,
no.
I'm not getting rid of my CD leather case at home with all my CDs in it. That's happening.
True.
Lewis's music taste says the Twin Towers are still standing.
Fuck yeah. Nothing bad could possibly happen in this great city of ours.
Great. Lewis has a real September 10th record collection.
What was that story?
Ballsy September 10th record collection.
It was McDonald's, right? Did we talk about this in this show? We'll talk about it in a second. Let me just get the plugs out of the way. Okay, so real quick, let's get the plugs. That song sucks dick. Thanks, Shannon, for not. I actually test you sometimes, Shannon. I tell you to put on a horrible song just to see if you'll give me a little pushback, and you never do. It's a problem. You want that out of a producer. You want them to actually give you a little bit of pushback and try to fucking.
I don't like any of the music you like, so I don't know when to push back.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is the point. You should understand the way that I think. As a producer, you should understand the way that I think as well.
Yeah, but you also like a reason to shit on me, so I gift you that at the beginning of the show.
I physically shit on Shannon before every show. It's pretty hot.
You're
welcome.
She
goes, Shannon, we were talking about sexual harassment before. That's one of the stories we're going to talk about in today's show. And Shannon was like, she goes, I could totally see you guys for sexual harassment. And me and Ralph went, yeah, if you did that, we would rape you to death.
Jesus Christ.
Which is the best response to being threatened to being sued for sexual harassment. If you sue me for sexual harassment, you will never live because of the amount of rapes that you will get at the end of all the men that work at this company.
Gas Digital, out of the frying pan and into the fire.
What? It's a bit.
I'm not laughing.
Don't edit that in. Don't edit that out, Shannon. Shannon also has the power just to edit out me saying it's a bit. And she put the word it's not a bit pretty easily.
No, you just said it. Thank you.
Fuck. I gave her the edit point.
She could put together a super mix of you ending your career.
Every podcast is a super mix of me possibly ending my career.
He just did. It's called Louis J. Gomez Presents Louis J. Gomez.
All right, let's get these plugs out of the way. Thank you. Thank you for the plug music. It does sound like the beginning of a Rocky song. I have the tiger, baby. Sean Donnelly, what would you like to plug, my friend?
Oh, I have an Instagram and a Twitter. It's at Shawnee Time. And I have my own podcast called Defend Your Movie.
Hell yeah.
It's a movie podcast where we pit two movies against each other.
We're going to do that today on the show. We're going to just sample of that.
Nice.
I like it. Defend Your Movie. I love that idea. Have you done it, Zach?
No, I'd love to.
Zach should fucking do it. He should, because he's a movie fag. I'm telling you right now, he's the guy you want.
I do a horror podcast on here.
That's right. Yeah. I'm supposed to do it, but we always miss each other scheduling-wise.
Yeah.
But yeah, do mine whenever you want.
I'd love to.
You guys both look like you voice different bulldogs in movies.
All kinds of little one, though.
This whole video looks like the waiting room of an auto body shop. just waiting for your car, and we're going to tell you. They're going to
just ripping off Jess.
Yeah.
She came in, she needed a new brake job, and her oil transmission needs to be.
I'll believe it. I don't want to get raped to death.
Okay. No. We would never rape a guest to death. Only the employees that have to work here every day.
It's part of their 401k.
And also, it's the men.
Sean's
going
to rip you off. Lewis is going to wash your windshield with a dirty rag.
Jess Fleischer is here as well. Very happy to have you back on the show. You guys might know her from the Roast Battles and Comedy Fight Club. Very, very funny. What's going on, Jess? What do you got to plug?
Yeah. Well, so I'm in this next tournament at Fight Club. Second round coming up next week. So people should come. It's fun when people come to Lucky Jack's.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, my Twitter, I guess. I don't tweet that much because I'm afraid of, like, getting fired. But it's too late for that now. I don't know, I'm in school.
Yeah, no, you're on this show. It's going to be sort of a problem.
How do you get fired from school?
Well, I'm in grad school, so they, like, pay me, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, because you have to teach? Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're in grad school, you teach other kids?
Yeah, I'm like
Are you working
TA.
On your dissertation?
I am.
Can you say what it's for?
I don't even know what a dissertation is.
It's like a thesis. It's like what everything builds up to at the end of grad school.
Yeah, so is it?
So it's like one of those big reports. Like, it's a big book report.
a big giant fucking
book. A big giant book report.
How many pages?
Like a thousand,
it's 300,
right?
300.
No.
300
okay.
Page
maybe 300. See, even I don't know.
And a lot of people get their thesis published afterwards if it's really good. That's
yeah.
Did you see how I didn't know? I was like a thousand? That's how dumb I am.
But I think in the field of... Shut up, Zach. I'm not dumb. I got this.
I'm good.
Not psychology. Like psychology.
Sociology.
Yeah.
Is that your
I
field?
Think you have yeah. to be published. I think that's the thing. It's like your thesis...
It's also psychology, I think, too.
Yeah. It's there's different.
A lot of them are like that, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So you're writing a fucking book.
Yeah, man.
I want to write a book too.
Do it.
I should go to college, and I'll have to. That's the thing. If I have to, I'll do it. You know, yeah. But the problem, I don't have to.
Yeah.
What is your field? Can you say?
Yeah, it's British history, 19th century British history.
Wow, really giving yourself some options there, huh?
I know. I'm very employable.
British history?
I know.
What are you, back in
I
time?
Don't know. I should kill myself.
What do you do after that?
Stupid.
Time travel?
I don't know.
Man, you're either going to solve Jack the Ripper or nothing.
I do write about Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. Can't wait for your book about Jack the Ripper to come out.
I don't want to tell you, but I have written about Jack the Ripper.
Have you really?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
What is the big end goal there if... finish the plugs and then figure that out. Why would you choose that major?
That's a great question.
Psychotic.
I know. I didn't like working, so I was like, I'll go back to school for 7 years. Seventh year of grad school.
One of those like career students.
Smart.
There was a guy like that in the paper.
Really
about...
Jew in the system.
I really
say.
Am. I'm all taking right. it for all it's worth.
I like it. Zach Miko.
There was a guy who got like 100 degrees. Did you ever hear about that guy? He went to school his like whole life.
Yeah,
and he just kept getting degree after degree. He was like getting paid to go to school for his whole life.
I love it. There was somebody sent me a scam the other day. Somebody tweeted it was a great scam. Somebody bought a...
Sign up for community college and take one class and then cancel it in the amount of time, but get your student ID so you can use it for discounts.
Yeah, discounts and travels. But that wasn't even... And somebody else tweeted another one, which was really good, which was they bought a first class... This guy bought a first class ticket and then was able to use like the lounge at the airport and then kept on rescheduling that first class flight. And he got over 300 free meals at this airport and at the end of it, just got a refund on the flight.
Really?
No. Yeah. Okay. So he got like, it was thousands of dollars worth of like free meals at an airport. He would just go there every day and eat dinner.
Yeah, but then you have to travel to the airport every day to eat the...
You have to go through security.
You go through security every day to get a free meal. I don't think I would... Do, also, the food at those things isn't that spectacular.
You've never gone to a Popeyes in the hood. Sort of the same process. It's a metal detector. There's a bunch of fucking...
By the way, it's very telling of me and Trump. Both of us went, I'm not taking my shoes off. That's a whole part of my day.
Tying them up again, not happening.
So, Zach, did you plug?
No, Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on the network, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show every Friday at midnight, comics watching horror movies. Tonight, it is me, Robbie Goodwin, and Colin Terrell watching Maniac.
Nice. By the special, Louis J. Gomez presents Louis J. Gomez at Louis J. Gomez presents Louis J. Gomez.com. Go do it, you fucking bitches. Right now, number one comedy special in the world, okay? Worldwide. Me and fucking around. A lot of great feedback from Europe. I'm coming out there, guys. I'm planning some stuff for this fall. If you're in England, if you're in fucking Ireland, if you're in... That's the only place I'm going to go, really.
Well, if you go, you'll know all about British history when you go.
I want to hear about British history on today's show. Also, take a moment, go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. One reviewer every month we give out a free piece of merch to. We ain't fucking around, baby boys. Get all of our merch at merchpump.com/RAP. And if you love the show, get every episode we've ever done, plus Legion of Skanks, and Believe You Me, and 17 other shows here on the Gas Digital Network, over 6,000 hours of on-demand live streaming content, pre-release, uncensored, amazing live chat, and more. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP. Get yourself a 14-day free trial. God, I'm good at podcasting. I'm really good at it.
You should write a book on it.
I should. Mm. Dissertation. Is there a book on podcasting?
I don't think so.
There's gotta be.
Go, let me see.
There's gotta be. I guarantee you there's 20 books about podcasting.
How
to start a podcast, the best ways to podcast.
The problem with the technology moves too fast, so by the time you write the book and have it published, there's already a new fucking platform or app.
Yeah, but if you're writing a book, you don't care. You'll sell the book.
Profitable podcasting.
Ooh. Yeah, can we read that now?
Podcasting podcasting hacks about us.
Yeah. The Louis J. Gomez story.
Podcasting hacks. The story of Gas Digital.
Yeah, look, there's a million.
Holy
shit. A million podcasts.
I said, is there a book on podcasting? Wow.
And look at this. That's crazy. That's somebody who's like,
what's the number one most recommended book on podcasting? I want to know the number one, and then I want to hear an audio excerpt. I want to see if I agree with this guy. And then if I don't, I want to go on a full-fledged podcast war against him. And I want to know where his podcast is. Who is podcast?
Do you think that should be a prerequisite? Like you have to have a podcast to write a podcast book?
Yeah, I think you should have to have a successful podcast if you're going to write a book on successful podcasting.
I'll say three of those people either have a podcast or it's successful. There's no way. Yeah. The rest of them are just like, I'll just do this.
Because nobody's ever written a book on comedy that is... A successful comedian, like on how to do stand-up comedy?
No.
Never.
No, never.
Not once.
That's why they do it. Yeah. They do stand-up comedy for a while. It doesn't work out. And they go, I'll write a book.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Okay.
Shannon.
So this is a podcasting for dummies.
That makes
sense. That's the number one.
Is it part of the series?
Yeah, it looks like it. It's on
their
website.
That's the number one podcast.
This is what Harrington pulled up as it.
All right, so give me an excerpt. I want to hear something.
That's playing an ad. One second.
We will not play their ads.
Tuning into podcast is one of the great things about the internet. They add a whole new dimension to the interactive experience of the web. And you can create some of your own as well. Recording a podcast is pretty easy if you have the right equipment. Of course, you can do some pretty sophisticated things like sound effects and background music. But here's a super brief overview for starters.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys, stop this. You two listen to the rest of it. We'll keep talking.
Give the clues.
Yeah. I'm sure it has some relevant information. But I just feel like you could probably learn from 4 YouTube videos what you can learn from an entire book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
100%.
How do books even exist anymore? I mean, I guess fiction is kind of fun because there's stories there.
Well, fiction's
fun. Why would anybody read a book to learn how to do anything? It's just there's such an easier way to do it.
Well, now all the instructional YouTube videos just take over for everything. Yeah. So I wanted to learn how to make a good grilled cheese sandwich, and I went straight to YouTube, and it tells you exactly how to make it.
You just didn't
fucking... Did you need to...
You need to YouTube how to learn how to make
I went on YouTube, had the correct way, and I found tricks. Like you put, like putting the bread, the butter on the bread. I didn't know that trick.
You didn't know to put butter on the bread?
I didn't know. I don't
you
know.
Look like you put butter on everything. You look like you butter your microphone before you use it.
Wow, that was right down the middle on that one. No, but no, I didn't know that. I never use my kitchen. I always get takeout. So that's why I was like, oh, cool.
You butter the bread. And then also my mom taught me this trick. You put a
plate
on top of it, so it presses it down with a cup of water on top of it. Nice and pressed, nice and steamy.
It's very easy to burn a grilled cheese.
No, the lower the flame, the better. With almost anything, that's my rule. That's my rule. Get that flame, a nice low flame. Get it nice, get the pan nice
defense,
and hot.
His mother taught him to make grilled cheese with a lighter.
And a spoon. Against me? You're going to get my Zach attack? Are you fucking kidding me?
Pew, pew.
Oh, it's a battle. Give
him a fucking gas attack. We're all attacking today, guys. We're all fucking.
Was that for your butter comment? Was the guest attack?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
No, that's when you guys attack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's when you guys fucking really. We have sound effects. It's great. It's a whole thing here, guys.
You read that book. That's all you know what to do.
One of the best parts of podcasting.
Of course.
But you need books because if not, you wouldn't. What would happen with your schooling?
You should make a YouTube video for your dissertation. How much better would that be?
You'd be like,
this is the way people would consume it.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, what else? What else do I know how to cook from watching YouTube? I mean, I go online to find recipes for ideas, and then I just add a bunch of adobo to whatever they say. That's sort of the way that everything works for me, you know?
Yeah.
You fucking mash cauliflower, why not? Of course, I'll do everything they say. Maybe a little bit of cream cheese.
Throw on the seasoning.
Get some adobo in there, why not? A little bit of pepper, twice as much butter. Any recipe that calls for butter, twice as much butter. Literally, that's what I do every single time. If you make Kraft macaroni and cheese, twice as much butter. Watch how much fucking better it is, doggy.
Yeah. I did the other day, Bobby Kelly at the cellar gave me a butter fry. And I go, what's a butter fry?
I was going to say, he just gave you butter?
He gave me a stick of butter. No, he gave me a French fry that he put butter on. And I was like, all right, I'll try it. And I had it, and it was amazing.
Is that just called a butter fry?
That's what he called it. A butter fry?
I did picture a stick of butter with wings.
I do butter on my steak now. I do butter in the pan when I cook my steak. I do a lot of butter in the pan when I cook my steak.
Yeah, it's great.
Doggy.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. And a little bit of adobo.
Yeah.
You got a steak.
I'm still really hung up on Bobby buttering his fries. That was like the saddest sentence
I've ever heard. Bobby butters fries? That should be his new podcast.
The sad sentence.
Dude, I'm just going to butter a fry. You can listen to me eat it. My Patreon. Pay $5 a month. I'm eating just butter.
Eating butter in my shed. It was delicious. It was that. I didn't need a YouTube video for that.
The first time I had mayonnaise on a fry, I was like, what the fuck is this?
It's the only way to go.
It's the best.
You love mayonnaise?
Love mayonnaise. Put on everything. Big white trash.
Oh, really?
Are you white trash?
No, but my food tastes are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think butter.
She has to eat fish and chips for her manger.
Yeah. What is something that we wouldn't know about British history from the 19th century that we would find interesting?
All of it.
Yeah.
Oh, the second part.
Why don't you fill around with what you do know first? That'll take less time.
Okay, so let's see. 1876, 1776. All right, no, that was before.
That's American history.
All right.
Hold on, no, but that's what I know. I know from my perspective.
Okay.
All right, so 19th century, the
1800s.
Was that the whole India? With India, right?
Yeah.
Nigga, I'm trying to get.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were all doing it.
India?
Right? What about
edit him out saying the India part, please. Thank you. India, all right?
What about India?
It was a fucking revolution.
There was a revolution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What'd I tell you?
Well, when you're talking about England, the nine times out of ten, it's a revolution because they kind of control it.
Okay, so I'm going to guess that England owned India, right? And India seceded from England after some sort of fucking curvy sword war. And then it was muskets versus curvy swords.
Oh, that's funny.
Right? And then Muskets versus Curvy Swords. India said, we have our independence now, and now we're going to fucking burn a little kid's eyeballs out with hot fucking molten lava like that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Close. They revolted because England was using these bullets that were covered in like cow grease.
Butter.
And it was like, it was covered in butter. And
butter
they
bullets?
Objected.
But the Bobby Kelly butter bullets?
The Butterfly Revolution. it was covered in cow grease. And that's like an Indian god.
No, wait, really
yeah.
though?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So wait, time out. Back up.
Yeah.
They started covering their bullets in the fight against the Indians in cow grease.
Yeah, there was some kind of cow.
That's something that like Trump says, I believe, currently. It's like we need to wrap our bullets in bacon and destroy it.
Windmills are killing people.
But that's the thing they say. Like, who? No, that was on who used to have a morning show here. The former cop. What's his name?
Bo Deedle.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, you tell me we'll go to the fucking Middle East. We'll put our bullets in fucking bacon grease and we'll put them in the fucking Muslim heads. So anyway, this next show is brought to you by MeUndies. If you want a discount on underwear. It was crazy.
Intense.
I don't like Bo. But so they
no,
really
every
did.
Time I listen to Joey Diaz, I was like, what if this guy was a cop and not funny?
So that really happened, though. Huh? So they were the British were dipping it. That's how nasty it got.
Yeah, I don't think they meant it to be offensive, but it was taken very offensively.
Wait a minute. Wait, why were they dipping it in cow grease?
It's like how the bullets were like made.
They were lubing up their
That's
guns.
That's just how the bullets were made.
Yeah. Oh, I thought they were doing it to specifically
Is that why it started?
Fuck with Indian people.
Started?
Yeah, in 1857. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
really?
Like, well, also they were like being invaded and ruled
right,
by another country.
Right, right. But that was the straw that broke the cow's back.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is an interesting fact. See, I would have never guessed that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then they were like... That's it. They had to fucking.
That was it.
Yeah, but it failed. The revolution failed.
The revolution failed.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But they got out under.
No. India's a country. You're wrong about that.
Gotta go back to your
dissertation. I'm gonna do a fact check right now. Pull up a map of India.
Just the
Mumbai, Bombay.
Just fact check. There it is.
It's a country.
He right to the map of India.
What else is there?
That's a map.
But like in the 1940s,
they had a whole bus rate problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, say yeah. Like,
can't
right
stop
there.
Raping buses.
A lot of
right
raping
there.
Buses.
But you're saying that's not when they.
I'm saying
that's
yeah.
not when they got their independence.
Yeah, I was saying that was in 1948, I think.
Oh, was it 1948?
I think so. Yeah.
Gandhi.
Wow. Why is nobody talking about that?
Who's naming other Indian
Gandhi.
Names?
No, that's why. Yeah.
Gandhi went on a hunger strike for Indian independence.
That's why I would have let him starve to death, and laughed at him. If somebody goes,
I mean, he also slept naked with underage girls to prove his chastity.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It was a pretty good scam.
Scam that Jew.
Scam
that Hindu.
There's going to be a
scam that do.
HBO documentary about Gandhi.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. What else do I know about British history from the 1900s? 1800s, sorry. I know a lot from the 1900s.
It's kind of funny. Like, everybody knows our history.
War of 1812?
That's
Feminist. Well, that was. Yeah.
Yeah, India.
Was us. Yeah, we were involved. No.
That was it.
No, that was us.
That was
us.
And them? Not in them.
Yeah, and them. Yeah.
It was American Britain.
Yeah.
Really?
That was how long did it last?
Not long. 1812? Not long.
Yeah.
That's when the White House burned down.
Oh, right. Wow. See? This is actually kind of fun.
I guess. Sounds like a goddamn
Lewis
nightmare.
Man, I knew a thing.
That was making me furious right now that Zach had a real fact. Ooh.
In my defense. It was called the War of 1812. It's pretty easy to figure out.
How did you guess both the name and the year? I like smart Zach. It makes me really angry.
So when you had your dissertation, do you call it that or you call it something else?
Yeah, I call it.
Okay. Is it about Jack the Ripper or what's it about?
It's about prostitutes.
Wow! Why did you bring that up?
There we go.
Should have led with that one for Lewis.
Old-timey British prostitutes?
Yeah,
like,
old-timey.
No teeth.
Your cock.
How about a go, governor?
Yeah. Give me for 20 pence, I'll suck your cock. Fix your fucking teeth, bitch.
Fucking some fat lady with no teeth for a meat pie.
Yeah, in the 1800s, dude, they were like eating fucking rats in the streets, dude. The Black Plague.
So it's about English prostitutes and like the rise of the business, or is it like...
Yeah, it's about underage prostitutes who were kidnapped.
Fuck yeah! Hell yeah! All right. How old? Time out. Underage by what standards?
Under
1800 standards.
Yeah,
pretty underage.
Pretty underage.
That's like...
like under
three.
16.
That's like fucking... I mean, Jesus Christ. Underage now is different than 1800s underage, right?
I would say so, yeah.
The age of consent got pushed from like 12 to 13. That was like a big change.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
That was back then.
Yeah, it's back then.
That's wow. and that happened when, the 1900s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not that long ago that that happened. Isn't that crazy?
What year did that happen?
Late 1800s. I don't remember the year.
Late 1800s.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's a while ago, but like, think about it this way. 1948, India became a country. That's not that long ago. But my dad was born in 46.
Didn't fucking, what's his name, marry his 13-year-old cousin?
Jerry Lee Lewis?
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. And also...
I'm not saying it's... I'm just saying, like...
Well...
It's not like you're here 50 years before an old-timey fucking British dragon lands. They're coming up with laws. Jerry Lee Lewis did it 50 years later in the United States, which
Ted
is kind of fucking crazy.
Ted Nugent did it 20 years after that and just adopted her first.
Is that real true?
Ted Nugent adopted his wife.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's his cousin. And remember Winona Ryder
okay,
player? She was just like Winona Ryder.
32.
Wait, yeah, she's got.
She does look older.
She looks fucking, like Tina Fey now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does. You're right. Yeah,
Southern women in the 50s, they didn't really have a long shelf life.
No. All right,
she looks
young.
Like a child.
Yeah.
She looks like an innocent, delicious child.
That picture was taken a week later. Jerry Lee Lewis really put it through.
Changed like a presidency?
Yeah.
One week. Yeah, it's fucked up, but it's like. That's actually, in weird way, surprising to me that it was even that late. I would have assumed in the 1800s in old-timey British lands that there was no age of consent.
Mm.
That it was like, it wasn't a crime to... People didn't do it. It was probably looked down upon. I would assume that there just wasn't... The laws weren't written on that yet. Because I would have assumed in the 1800s, people were marrying 12 and 13-year-old girls way more often than you would think. Harrington?
1875, it was moved from 12 to 13. And in 1885, they bumped it up to 16.
Ugh. Wow.
Fucking party poopers.
That's called progress.
Jesus.
It's called cock blocking. That's what that's
fucking... They only lived to like 34.
I know.
Right.
What was the...
Have love, will travel.
That's actually a good point.
1865, the life expectancy for a woman.
Probably.
This is interesting.
40.
Because it should be based...
Like middle age.
It should be based off their percentage of life, not their development... Mentally,
well,
or physically.
Well, it's not going crazy.
So, for example, if a girl has a young girl has a terminal disease, and she's going to die at 7, then technically her age of consent should be 2.
No.
If you're it's a logical point that I'm making right now, guys.
Hey, don't judge. It's their make a wish.
What was the life?
Get in there, LeBron.
What was the life expectancy of a woman in England in 1865 or whatever the year was?
Says ranging between 38.3 and 44 years.
Wow, nigga. See?
Right.
I said 40. 42. I was right in the middle of that.
So it's double. You should at least cut the age of consent in half based off of math.
No. Based off
so
of
you're
math?
Saying they should be able to fuck for 3/4 of their life?
I am not scientist. I'm not even a mathematician. But I'm going to tell you right now, you got to look at the numbers here, okay? When we look at hardcore numbers... I have no problem with the age of consent being 12 years old in 1865 in England.
But what if...
That is one-third of her life.
So are you really making this point?
That's like the age of consent being 30 now.
What about this? Do you think they were an older... all right, put it this way. When David Bowie died, this woman came out and wrote an article about how she slept with him when she was 13. But she didn't write it like as an expose. She wrote like... It was a different time. I knew what I was doing. It's what I wanted. I made the choice. I don't regret anything about it.
Mm.
And we both didn't regret it. I didn't regret it. And I'm not saying this to out him as anything. I'm just saying this to be like, it was a different time and I was like we're more mature back then. Like a 13 was more mature back then.
13 was definitely more mature
so
back then, without a doubt.
Back in the English times, back then, do you think that a 12 would be more mature?
For sure. I think at 12, during old-timey English times, you were working already.
Yeah. Like
the boys
fields.
Were working on a farms. The girls were fucking seamstresses or fucking churning butter or whatever they did.
Yeah.
But look, I am kidding to a certain degree.
Right,
they're children, obviously.
Right.
Physically. But I also, if you would have just asked...
They're hardened, tough children.
If you would have just asked me, I would have assumed that marrying a 12-year-old in 1860 in England wasn't a crime. That's what it just
that
made
makes
my
sense.
Assumption.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that.
All right, guys, let's talk really quickly about a brand new sponsor, DanceSafe.org. If you guys don't know what DanceSafe.org is, it is a website that promotes healthy and safety within the electronic music community. These are people who party. Okay, if you guys have ever been to a rave, all you do is you get fucked up. You listen to some shitty music, it's thumping and pumping. You got a bunch of fucking Molly running through your veins. And look, do what you want to do, man. You know, for me, I believe that all drugs should be legal. You should be able to do what you want to do with your body, okay? Obviously, you want to party in a very safe manner. That's the most important thing. If you're going to drink, don't get behind the wheel of a car. If you're going to smoke some fucking weed, make sure there's no fentanyl laced in that, right? And what DanceSafe.org does is they have these amazing drug testing kits, okay? This is really important. Let's face it, when you're buying things like Molly or Coke or any of these other drugs that you might be partying with, it's dangerous because you don't know where the fucking they come from. So these kits are super easy to use, and they let you know if your Molly is actually MDMA, if your cocaine is really just meth. And that's why you need to go to DanceSafe.org and pick up any of their testing kits. They have everything you need to ensure that you aren't taking any substances that you did not intend to. They're really easy to use. They only take a few minutes to help identify the substance you've purchased. And if you're going to be partying, this is a smart way to reduce the risk of ingesting substances that you don't want. One more time, summer is coming up. Everyone's going to have a lot of fun this summer. People are going to be getting fucked up and partying. And if you do that, if you're one of the people that does that, this
if
is
if you go to like a comedy festival, say in June.
But you want to, look, you want to be responsible if you're going to party. So make sure you go to DanceSafe.org. They've got a ton of helpful tips and testing kits so you actually know what's going on and what you're putting into your body. And if you use the promo code RAP15, you save 15% off your entire purchase. Once again, that is DanceSafe.org. Use the promo code RAP15, save 15% off, and get your party on, baby boys. All right, where were we? I got to talk about this really quick. Actually, Harrington, throw this in the microwave for 30 seconds. Sorry. I forgot I had my latte, and it's a little bit cold now. We should talk about these things. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news today. I have a whole show planned, and we're already half an hour in. We haven't even touched on anything. That's how good the show's going. That's a sign of a good show. That's a sign of a good show.
See, British history is so useful. It really is. So fucking useful.
Do a whole podcast on British history. That'd be a fun podcast. Why don't you do your podcast on British history?
Because history's stupid.
No, it's not. You're the only person who is the authority on this. That'd be, if you picked a new theme from British history every time,
yeah.
Jack the Ripper,
British
whatever
whores,
it is.
Every time.
British whores are great too.
Whores.
Tell us more about British whores, actually. I'm actually into this now.
So
what else? Give me another fact about these young British whores.
They were like told that they would be actresses or servants, and then they got kidnapped to brothels in France and Belgium.
Oh,
so that's what I write about.
Yeah. That's the hottest.
That's kind of like what happens now to people. Yeah, sex trafficking.
Yeah.
So you're saying is the whole point of it how like sex trafficking hasn't changed that much? Like there hasn't been enough of a crackdown. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of. My point is that like it probably never actually happened.
Yeah, your point is that all women are
lying. They were already prostitutes before.
Yeah, it's not. Is that really? It's not like, oh, we're gonna get you a job in the movies, dog.
That's true. But they have vaudeville type situations.
But they're like, we're gonna put you in a play. Wait, don't men dress as women in these plays? We're gonna use women now.
You're the star.
Take your panties off and get on the bus.
Oh, so you're saying that they were already prostitutes?
Mm-hmm, probably.
So you think that's false information?
Yeah, I think it was false information.
Wait, what?
Yeah. But there's still a lot of logic.
Are you rape apologizing for old-timey British guys?
That's my dissertation. I'm a rape apologist.
I like this girl.
So did you take the status of that business over the course of like 50 years?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And what were the giant changes?
Yeah, like I went to archives and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And did anything get safer for them? Did it get regulated? Nothing happened. Just did it stay the same?
Yeah, there were regulations. Pictures? There are laws.
Any AOL.com?
No, how much extra for anal?
The only pictures are like the Jack the Ripper victims who are all like decapitated. And yeah.
Oh, you can get pictures of Jack the Ripper
victims?
Yeah,
they're victims. Like in the newspaper. Sure. Gross. Yeah.
And then when Jack the Ripper comes in, what year?
It's the 1880s.
Yeah. And then he targeted English prostitutes.
Yeah.
Only.
Right.
Oh, and that's why you got into Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, this bit.
Is that one of his victims? It looks like.
Is it? Maybe.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so creepy. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Is that Tilda Swinton?
Ooh.
That looks like a drawing.
That's a cut up body, I think. That's why it looks like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. This is like. There was like a artistry to like their like this is not very medical. This is more like horror.
No, that's funny. Yeah. A lot of people suspect that it was a doctor because he knew
how to cut him up. And
he
stuff?
Knew what was inside him.
Didn't they just find out who Jack the Ripper was?
I think once every 5 years, somebody writes a book and says, "I figured it out."
Yeah, some people think it was like a nobleman who basically was getting. That's why he never got caught.
Yeah,
because and some people think it was a doctor because he knew. Nobody knew what was inside people at that time.
Do you touch on it in your what you call it? Do you touch on it in your
from Jack the Ripper
on your dissertation? Yeah,
yeah, I do.
Do you touch on what your theory is?
I don't have a theory. But at the time, they were...
You know that those bitches deserved it, though, right?
Yeah, well, they were worse, so...
Right?
Well, from what Zach said, you assigned... Like, just from all your research, what do you think makes more sense? Like, because you've done all the research of the, of that industry. I just find it interesting what you would think. You think nobleman, or you think...
At the time, they first thought it was a Jew. Well. We were... That was the big theory. It was just Jew for a while.
That was also my theory. I agree.
Well, you said that for everything. You're like, yeah. Who stole my latte? Joe.
Everybody. Fucking Jews. Who's in control of the media? Who's killing all those British prostitutes?
Jack the Ripoff.
Oh, shit. That's great.
That was good.
There you go.
Pew, pew.
I got it. What happened? You got a phone call from TMZ today, Zach?
I got a telephone call from TMZ today.
What happened?
That's pretty awesome.
So I work in reality TV with a production company. I think we've done like 5 different shows, and I've signed NDAs for all of them.
Yeah.
People listen to all of this. I can't. Non-disclosure.
Those are agreements.
Non-disclosure agreement. I can't talk about the shows I work on.
You can't say the names?
No, I don't talk about it. And so TMZ hit me up, and I was like, fuck. They're going to ask me a question about my show. But then the part of me...
Is it a big show?
No, not that. Not big. And part of me is like, oh, maybe they're calling because I'm a comedian. Probably not, but I got to answer.
How'd you know it was TMZ?
The guy messaged me.
Oh, he texted you first.
Yeah, he said, call this number. I'm a producer on TMZ. So I called up, and I'm expecting to have to text one of the people I work with and be like, hey, TMZ wants to know this. What's going on? And I go, hello? He goes, I have to ask you a sensitive question. Okay. He goes... I understand you were on the Anthony Cumio show yesterday. And I was like, yeah, uh-huh. And now I'm like, oh, this is bad.
Jesus.
And he goes, we've received some anonymous tips in the last 24 hours. I was like, uh-huh. He goes, that Anthony has passed away. And I was like, no. And he's like, well, we were told that after your show yesterday, he was taken to the hospital and he's passed away. And I'm like, is it from Reddit? And they're like, it could be. And I'm like, yeah, they said I died a few months ago. I think they're fucking with you guys. He's like, well, we've gotten a number of tips.
From Reddit. He's like, there's like 10 no, posts.
Definitely
here.
People called.
You are a moron.
I know. The second I hung
up. You're a moron.
The second I hung up, I was like, I should have said he died.
Yeah, if you would have said he died, it would have made TMZ. If like, it, Zach Amico it, confirms yeah. death of radio legend Anthony Cumia.
The second I hung up. I was like, oh, I should have said, well, he was supposed to do my podcast, Zach and Mika's Midnight's Blue Show, and they died.
Who are you?
It just didn't occur to me.
You are one of them. You are, if they took every person from the Opie and Anthony subreddit and mashed them into one fucking figure.
Like the fly, like Jeff Goldblum's fly machine.
Yeah, Zach would walk out of that machine as them all combined, and how did you not just fucking go... He's dead. And started crying. I would have acted. I would have fucking given him specific details.
I think.
I would have given them other numbers to confirm.
In my heart, I went, I don't want them to call his family.
That makes
so
sense.
So nice.
What does it matter?
Because when you said I died, somebody called my dad. And I had to deal with that.
Yeah, but it was
really?
Fucking hilarious.
Did you believe
I just told Zach, I told everyone that Zach was in the hospital. And that.
And he wasn't?
No. No.
No, I was like spending time with my family who love me.
You see why that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, right. It's very believable. Yeah, I'm the same way. I didn't say Zach was all fucking training for a marathon. They knew what was going on.
Lewis is home today writing jokes. Yeah, we know.
So, and you, somebody called your dad when he said it?
Yes, somebody. Because
so your dad freaked out? Your dad freaked.
Yeah, so people start tweeting about it. They start posting it. People call the creek. People go to the Creek and Cave every week, and they tell the staff that we're having family emergencies at home. Just individual members of the Skanks.
Yeah.
We'll be on stage, and then, you know, they interrupted the show before.
Yeah.
And they know now just to fucking...
hang up.
Let the house burn.
So there's a real emergency. You're like, yeah, right, my mom's...
In the off chance of...
Well,
if there's an off chance that there's an emergency on a Monday night, then I guess we're fucked.
Yeah, yeah. You know? But they would just call your cell phones and whatever else.
So what happened with this Aliza Dushku story? Have you guys read anything about this? She was on a show called Bull.
Yeah, she was in like a bunch of shows. She was also in like Bring It On.
Bring It On, ugh.
She was in Bring It On.
Elisa Dushku.
She was like a
slams CBS Michael Weatherly for alleged harassment.
This was a while ago.
And retaliation on Bull. Well, the story that I read today was she got a $9.5 million settlement. Is this today's story?
Yeah, right there. Settlement in the first paragraph. $9.5 million.
Yeah, what is this from?
Oh, no, it's not.
What? How old is this? How did this come up?
This is the first thing that came up when I searched it.
What the? Why did this come up in my timeline then on my phone today?
Hold on.
What, Harrington? There has to be new news on this. Oh, Steven Spielberg walks away from CBS Show Bowl. That's right. Okay. So that's what happened. Spielberg walked away from it. I was like, I saw this today. How is this so old? Yeah. So apparently what happened was this guy, Michael Weatherly, he made some comments while on set, with this chick was on set, and he was just, I guess he made a joke about them having a threesome. Do you have, pull up the comments, actually, if you can.
Like, nothing that crazy.
Not $9.5 million crazy.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, I just...
But it's also, this happened last year. When was it, last year? Or a couple months ago?
This happened last year.
At that point, at this point, dude, don't stop. Just don't do it. You're on a job like that. It's a freaking powder keg. Don't say anything.
Yes,
just go.
I agree.
And talk about puppies and do your job and go home.
The problem is, though, you have these things, right? You have like a work environment where
I know what you're going to say. When you work with people and you get comfortable, you start joking around.
People joke, they make dumb things, and you feel like you're comfortable, and then
something snaps.
Something happens, and that person goes, here's what I believe about this. I don't believe that Elisa Dushku was traumatized by this experience.
I don't think so.
I don't believe that. And anybody is traumatized by somebody making jokes like that. I think that they're somewhat fragile, man or woman. What do you want me to say? It's a fragile type of person that I'm like, oh my God, my mother killed herself with heroin. You know, she was raped by her stepfather when she was 12.
Zach makes 48 jokes a day about it.
No, he does. But the reality is, I look at like, that it like you're suing for $9.5 million because you're a movie star who felt uncomfortable on your movie star set.
Right.
It's just sort of an entitled, privileged thing. If coming from my perspective and the women that I have dealt with who have real problems in life.
Of course.
My 85-year-old aunt who's worked every day of her life and fucking, you know, has basically made minimum wage her whole life and fucking, you know, I watch these people go through real trauma and real problems and deal with real shit. And there's nobody to just sue, and there's nobody to just sort of blame, and they just sort of pick up their bootstraps, and they move on, and they become stronger people because of it. And then I see a story like this, and I'm going like, Jesus Christ, $9.5 million. Harrington, you can go on microphone. I don't want to read right now. What?
Well, what she's saying is it wasn't for the comments.
I know. It was because she was dropped after she reported the comments.
Three episodes.
After three episodes. But she was booked as a guest star. There was no guarantee for any of that. And I also don't, am I crazy to say that I don't believe that the men behind the scenes on this popular CBS, Disney-owned CBS sitcom went, we got to silence this girl. Let's fucking get rid of her right now.
No, I don't think
she's off the show because she complained. I don't believe that's what happened. I believe that's the story and that's why she got a $9.5 million settlement. But I just don't.
I don't think there's an email from Les Moonves that says, that bitch is a snitch. Cut it.
I don't believe it. And there are people in power in these companies. There's like sort of checks and balances system today. This isn't 20 years ago. If this is a story from 20 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, of course, that happened. Guaranteed
yes,
that happened.
100%.
It's hard for me to kind of connect.
Send her to Harvey.
It's hard for me to connect the dots and get there. And look, more power to her. I'm just not, I don't play the game where I would never even sue somebody. I would just never go through that process. I feel like right now I could sue Equinox right now. Yeah. Right now I could sue Equinox because I've been masturbated at repeatedly by men in the steam room. The last guy, they didn't cancel his membership. He's still there, and I reported it. I guarantee you this guy's been reported before. He's so brazen, impossible that this guy would have been reported before. So I think I have means that if I went to a lawyer and said, hey, this is the deal, Equinox,
repeated behavior.
They've already had a lawsuit specifically because of this.
Same guy.
Class action lawsuit. Five guys came out. You know, John Doe 1 through 5, and they Johnny 5 was a robot actually
from Short Circuit.
Yeah. He was in the steam room. We rusted. It was crazy. I make great jokes.
Sparks everywhere.
So they settled out the way the world works. If I went to a lawyer and said I want to sue them. I would assume Equinox would just settle out. They would go, yeah, here's $100,000, shut up. Like,
They would be petrified that you would, because everybody, whenever somebody hears a story like that, they want to know where it is.
Yeah, of course.
So if you had the location and everything like that.
All that, dude.
Case of Equinox versus Juan Doe.
But I believe I could go play that game.
You absolutely could.
I could, but I don't. I could also go work on Wall Street and make a lot of money. I look at it as just a different game, and I don't play that game.
Well, to be honest, I think you have to. It sounds shitty to say this, but I think you have
to be a Jew. You're right. I didn't want to say it, but you said it, Sean.
You have to look at probably the game that she's playing. Because I agree with you. I don't think that she was highly insulted. I think she maybe convinced herself she got fired for that reason.
Yeah.
But also, you have to look at think about Los Angeles, dude. The type of place that is. Built into what we do is what is the amount of attention that you get? Because what happens is she does this lawsuit. When people are reading this thing going, oh, yeah, Elias. Like, they're not looking at it going, oh, she shouldn't have done that or whatever it is. They're going, oh, yeah, Elijah Dushku, I remember her.
Yeah,
why don't we bring her in for something else? Because she's pushing forward a cause and she's speaking out, you know, for herself, supposedly. So there's in her world, that's basically putting out the white flag to be like, I'm here, remember me? Like, it's almost like when you, like, if you humble brag about something online, like, it's just to be like, I'm back, here we go, I still want to work, and this is what I'm doing now. Like, it's almost just let people know, because nobody watches TV anymore. Nobody's going to see her on that show anyway, so nobody gives a fuck.
Well, she sued for the amount of money that she would have made had she been on every episode, I guess, since or so.
But she wasn't planned to be on that.
Years? No, she wasn't planned to be on it. What, Harrington? What?
There were plans to make her a series regular after she came in season one. So she was going to be a series regular in season two on.
And what was their reason for letting her go? Did they give a reason?
I did not see one, no.
She couldn't fall in line.
This was when Les Moonves was still there, though, right?
I think. Probably, yeah.
That guy's gross. He got fired.
Yeah, that was totally straight up. Yeah.
Maybe. It's hard for me.
Send her to Lauer.
It's hard for me to understand. I just can't get there.
Well, you can't because of who you are and what you do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in her world, this is, like, in the LA.
In her world, she's a millionaire who's a fucking been in tons of movies and TV shows. She's an act, you know, working actress. Look up her fucking net worth. I bet you she's worth a lot.
I bet she's worth 20.
I bet you she's worth
20. No way. 20, you think?
Mm-hmm.
She's in a bunch of TV shows and movies. All those shows go into syndication. Yeah. Those movies she's in, those fucking...
residuals, dude.
Residuals are crazy. I got a fucking $1,000 residual check the other day. I've done no TV. I've done nothing. I'm from the Jim Gaffigan show. I got a $1,000 residual check. I did one episode of the Jim Gaffigan show, and it was one other little thing, but it was mostly from the Jim Gaffigan show. And I was like, really? This is just out of fucking nowhere? So you can imagine huge shows.
Yeah, where, you're right.
Come on. God, how much is she worth?
As of December of 2018, $10 million.
She was only
worth
that.
$500 million before that. $500,000 before that. As of December 2018, $10 million. She sued for $9.5 million.
All right, that worked out for her.
$19.5 million. That's what I'm saying, man.
Wait, was that including the 9.5? Was that including the 9.5 or not including the 9.5?
That was when they were still doing it.
Yeah, and also net worth of $10 million. Who knows? None of things are real. And what does that even mean? I'm telling you right now, she's fine. Her life compared to the average American woman is fucking awesome. It's awesome. She's a fucking gorgeous chick who's talented, who's been in a ton of movies, has a lot of money. Mm-hmm. She's killing it. Her life is grand.
I agree.
I mean, I promise you, Jess has a worse life. No offense, Jess.
No, it's
you're
way
a nice
worse.
Chick.
Read about
great, but she's read a about professional student
way worse.
Writing about Jack the Ripper's victims. Her life's a nightmare.
It's
this
the
is
worst.
The biggest thing that's happened this week for her.
I would sue in a heartbeat.
I know
as a Jew and a woman, I would sue in a second, for sure. Get everything I can. Why not? You should sue Equinox. That place is too nice.
Should?
That place is so
I
nice.
I love it, though. I love the company. I love the gym.
I think deep down he won't sue because he loves Equinox so much.
I do. I wouldn't want them to cancel my membership. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to go.
Yeah, I guess you can't sue and then be like, show up the next day, be like, hi guys.
Hey.
Hey, I'm going to work out.
I mean, I guess you could. They couldn't cancel your membership. But I think I should just propose to them. They should
Lewis
give me
would
a
settle out
membership.
Of court for a private steam room.
Yeah.
We're building a steam room next door. So don't worry. Once I have my steam room next door, I actually don't really need
it. You realize once you have that one, you can't complain about guys masturbating at you.
It should
that
be
one.
Me masturbating, and nobody can say anything.
That would be the ultimate revenge, just you in the workroom, just masturbating at the end of, with like using the money that they paid you.
We have a complaint box that goes directly into a paper shredder.
The circular file?
Fucking jerk off right in front of anybody goes to my steam room, I will beat off in front of you. Nobody touches my steam room. It's also only mine and Ralph's steam room. You guys are going to literally watch me and Ralph come out of it every day, just covered in sweat, towels. You guys are going to be working like assholes. We're actually going to cut off the air conditioning in here so you could sweat a little too. All right, guys?
I agree with what you're saying, but my point about her is that You're thinking with a quasi rational brain where you're like you wouldn't do that. You're like even with the masturbation thing of the Equinox, you wouldn't do that. Now with what's going on now, that's just part of her world where that she's like I could do this. She basically has people around her going, you should sue them. They took away the job from you. They did this. That how dare they?
Does her agent get 15% of the money she sued for?
I don't know.
Right? If I was her agent, I would be like, yeah, I'm taking that.
I bet you it's in the form of their lawyer. I bet you she uses their lawyer and that goes
and whatever them. They're making their fucking cash. They're like, yeah, sue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sue.
Absolutely.
But there's no downside for her for suing. There is no downside. Why not?
Well, she's, you know, we're trashing her on this podcast.
Well, sure. She has to live with that. But other than that, she's $10 million.
She'll survive from that.
She doubled her net worth.
Yeah.
She doubled her net worth. Yeah, exactly. So you want to wonder.
Can we pull up sexy pictures of Eliza Dushku while we talk about this?
Sure.
Why not?
Just to really even it out.
She was hot back in the day. Her body was fucking righteous, right?
Oh, dude, she's fire. And Jane Silent Bob Strike Back?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Come on, Dushku.
That's her from.
I'm not supposed to sexually harass her. What are we doing here?
That's her from 20 years ago, right?
You don't do it to her face.
I wonder what she is now, because now I feel like she's
a little
bit
solid.
Warmer. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. She's a fucking Hollywood bitch. She does Pilates and yoga. Right. She's got a private instructor.
Right. Yeah, she's not in the real world. She's on a fucking cloud. So that's why she thinks, how dare they do this to me? How dare they, you know, insult me like this? I'm a professional actor. I you know, how dare they put me in a situation where I'm going to be treated like this?
I think that's the issue with the Me Too movement is because it's being led by Hollywood elite.
I agree with that.
It's just sort of, I have a hard time. I'm going, I mean, Shannon, she has two dead tits growing on her chest right now. She can't afford to have them replaced. They're going to seep into her body and kill her eventually. She had crickets that infested her apartment. She had to leave and move. She's been physically and emotionally abused by her bosses and boyfriends for years. So, I mean, in what fucking world? How are you not furious, Shan? How are you not like, fuck you, bitch? You really? That's your big problem is fucking Michael Weatherly said nice tits?
I get it. I wish I got abused the way she did.
I mean, that's it.
It's way better.
Imagine that. Imagine you only got that little of abuse, Shannon.
Be envious about the abuse.
Shannon has Stockholm Syndrome.
Her biggest complaint, the actual quote, as was caught on tape after I flubbed a line, he shouted in my face, I will take you over my knee and spank you like a little girl.
Well, that...
Ugh. It's creepy, yes. It is creepy.
I'm not saying, creepy.
But here's what it is. In the real world, this
is. But not
that is.
$10 million creepy.
That is, you complain to your boss, and that guy is reprimanded. Yeah. And then if you do it again, dude, you're fucking gone. That's the world that it should be, right? It's not.
It's the world of HR. It should be an HR situation.
The homosexual retard department? We have that here as well. We hired a homosexual retard to be in charge of all complaints from Shannon. It's hilarious. Watching their conversations, they start talking about makeup. It's nuts.
Now I want to sue you for $9.5 million.
Why not?
For saying that. Yeah.
But that, you know, that whole Hollywood elite, I have a hard time feeling bad for those people. People love to, you know, it's the same reason why they love the fact that Aunt Becky is going to go to jail. It should sort of be the same thing. You're like, guys, if anyone's going to be sexually harassed or assaulted, it should be the Hollywood elite. If you had to pick somebody, Jess Fleischer, if you had to pick somebody to be sexually assaulted, and have any walk of life...
Mm-hmm. Other than like a murderer, like other than like a Casey Anthony or someone like that. You
Casey
mean
Anthony.
Just like, other than
you
a bad person?
You don't know what happened to her in her childhood. I guarantee she was a victim at one time.
She probably was.
Guaranteed.
You think so? Her parents seem nice. I get you. Yeah. Actors, if I had to pick someone.
Of course.
But they're the ones who make the Me Too movement, you know,
known.
Famous.
Known, yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
then, you know, people like Shannon can complain. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, but they don't. Nobody
well,
cares.
Well, she doesn't.
Here's
no
the thing. There have been, I mean, I'm sure Shannon has complained multiple times, but I'm not famous enough to take down.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wouldn't be news. Shannon can complain all day long. Nobody's going to give a fuck. It, it wouldn't make the newspaper.
Yeah, it's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah.
It's the thing where it's like, they're like, this should never happen ever. But it's like, it's only, you only want it to happen when, you only want to complain about it or it to be, it, when it's in the public eye and it's somebody big enough for it to happen to.
Yeah. It's like, do you think sexual harassment isn't happening in the real workplace all the time?
All
right
the
now,
time.
All
yeah,
over the place.
Sure.
And it's just, nobody really gives a fuck about that chick. Nobody, because she doesn't have a fucking Twitter following and nobody really gives a shit. But because it's an actress, I don't think it's a, it's not
always
a bad
some
thing.
Executive, not a kitchen full of guys.
Yeah, which who are the guys who are literally dangerous? It's a kitchen full of Mexicans who are going to grab your ass as you walk by while you're trying to wait your tables. They will. I'm telling you, there's no doubt about it, okay? But that's not a story. Like, nobody wants to, the liberal media doesn't want to report that story. Kim, who worked, my girlfriend, she worked at a restaurant. She literally had her ass grabbed by one of the kitchen staff. She said this happened multiple times because she got a big fat ass. This guy grabbed her ass. She complained, got him fired, but that's not a sexy story that anybody's going to get behind.
Yeah.
You know, brown person. You know what Trump is complaining about. That, you know, it happens, and that story is so like against that narrative. So they sort of have to have this other thing where it's like rich, powerful white men are the dregs of society or hurting women. Where it's like, no, I think that's it's more rare than you think. Success people that are successful that get to be successful. Most of the time, people have to like them along the way. You have to be pushed through those motions. It's very rare that unlikable people, really bad people, really shitty people who do bad things that hurt people, get to
through.
Be really successful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's rare. It does
happen.
Well,
the Harvey Weinstein is one of those things.
Yes, I'm not bad saying guy, it does happen. Yeah. But to act like Harvey Weinstein is the what society is, when I see a guy in a suit going to and from work and you know, up at 6 a.m. on the subway, working a 12-hour day, going home successful, makes money, has a nice house. There's no part of me that's going, this guy's probably hurting people.
Right.
I'm going, this guy's probably a good dude who's taking care of his family and going
that's
to and
most
from,
of the world.
Most of the world.
Just let us live and have
yes. our... Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that narrative, it's just not real. It's not, if you want to have these real conversations, let's have a real conversation. And there's just sort of this inherent dishonesty about the entire narrative. So the whole Me Too movement is sort of like, I sort of mock it, but it's not based off of not wanting women. I don't want women to be hurt. If there was a woman being hurt on the street right now, I would be the first person to run, tackle the guy, and fucking hold him down until the cops
over.
Got there.
Do you want a podcast?
shit. But you know that's true.
Of course.
You know that's 100% true. So it's like, you know, I believe, but I also don't believe that women should feel like they should be this protected class. If I had a daughter, I have a son and he's in jiu-jitsu. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I had a daughter, she would learn jiu-jitsu. She would learn how to defend herself. She would learn how to, if somebody said something that she didn't like, how to express herself in a way that says, I don't like that. Don't fucking do that again. There are skill sets that you need to learn. And with that Elisa Dushku situation, sort of suing for, you know, and it's just, it kind of sends a message to people like, hey, you know what? You're precious, and words, if they hurt you, you can just sue, and everything needs to be perfect for you. It's like, no, that's not reality. That's not the world.
There's also a generational thing, because if you talk to a lot of women that are in my generation, behind closed doors, or, you know, off mic, whatever you want to call it, they'll turn around and say, it's all, like, what's going on now is a lot, there's a lot of bullshit.
Of course.
I have two sisters that, like, I never was worried about them taking care of themselves. Like, that's the type of attitude they have. So, like, I would always protect them, but I never would be like, oh my God, they're going to be like just fawns out there in the real world.
It's a counterproductive. I want you to say this, Jess, because I see you're chiming in and you're the only woman in the room right now, so you have the most relevant opinion here on this.
No, you guys keep talking about sexual harassment.
No, totally.
Say what you're going to say.
Well, I agree that we only care about it when it happens to rich and famous people, but that's every single news story, unless it's very sensational. So we don't care unless it happens to famous people or people we know. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't address it when it's happening.
No, definitely should be addressed. But what he's saying
is that
too much
of a lawsuit. I agree that that's a ridiculous amount of money that she got. But
it's not even just it's less specific about this, and it's more or less about when you look at like the things that are pulled from the Me Too movement on the social media side and on the media side, mm-hmm. I just feel like they're sort of missing the mark. I don't feel like it's actually representing what's really happening. I don't feel like the victims that are being represented a lot of the times, like, this isn't somebody that's a real victim. I feel like it's insulting to actual fucking victims to act like Eliza Dushku gets $10 million for being told that she's been, there are women who have been brutally fucking raped. There's nobody to sue for $10 million. I mean, there's women who've literally been dragged into some fucking bushes and raped and really hurt, and there's nobody to sue. And I feel like Eliza Dushku should maybe just fucking donate that money to those victims or to some fucking thing like that, because, like, and if she did that, I'd have a lot of respect for her. If she said, hey, you know, I'm going to take this $9.5 million and I'm going to donate it to actual real victims, because, you know what, the show fucked up. I feel like they did this, but I'm not going to line my pockets with it. This isn't about me. I'm going to get another job. I'm fine. I'm fucking Eliza Dushku. I'm fucking killing it, okay? Yeah. I don't believe she did that. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be completely wrong. Maybe she donated it to, you know, Special Victims Unit. Model, I don't know.
Yeah, SVU.
Favorite child.
I think also what it comes down to, and to play the other side, not to play the other side of it, but I just thought of this, I think what's going on now is trying to speak to the idea of, like, the reason they go after the elite or the Hollywood part of it is because it's a matter of power. It's abusing power. And I do get that. Mm. But it doesn't change the fact that it happens in a lot of facets.
Yeah, there's guys that own a chicken franchise that are abusing their power probably just as bad.
Right, right, exactly.
Even worse, because those people don't have a voice. So if somebody doesn't have a voice on social media, I know that I can sort of get away with abusing them. Just some fucking young chick who's, like, you know, trying to make ends meet. She works two jobs. She's got two kids at home. She's probably not kicking up dust because she's afraid to lose that job. She doesn't have the next movie to go on to. That person is in a really fucked up situation. That's the person who sort of doesn't have a voice.
He needs to have a story written.
Yeah, and there's no stories about that. It's all these fucking Hollywood elites and these people who have really, really great privileged lives who aren't being hurt. Who aren't being hurt. Yeah. I mean, what's her name? Probably got hurt. She looks pretty fucked up.
Who?
The bald bitch.
Rose McGowan?
Yeah. She looks like
I think she full on got raped. I think. Yeah, no. If you're getting hurt, you're getting... No, it's possible for somebody in Hollywood to get actually hurt. But what you're saying is the Eliza thing is that seems frivolous.
It seems a little bit crazy. Yeah. It seems a little bit crazy. All right, gents and lady, let's talk about Infinite CBD, which is the fucking best. We love Infinite CBD. Sponsoring Skankfest this year. They make the best CBD products on the market. If you guys don't know what CBD is, it is the non-psychoactive chemical in marijuana. It does not get you high. It is not getting you fucked up. This is simply to help you live a better life. Maybe you have arthritis or some sort of physical pain. Maybe you're working out a lot and you're having muscle issues. Maybe you can't sleep. Maybe you have insomnia. Maybe you got a headache all the time. CBD has been known to help so many different afflictions. Do a little bit of research. Do a little good bit of Google research. See if it can help you or somebody else in your family, because it is widely regarded as a miracle drug in a lot of circles. Couple things we're doing right now. Not only do they have some amazing products at Infinite CBD, but if you guys want to come to Skankfest, this is the only way that you have a chance to get all access passes. Skankfest is sold out this year, June 21st through 23rd. But if you go to infinitecbd.com/skankfest, you have an opportunity to enter to win a pair of all access passes. That is for every event at Skankfest, plus a $200 Infinite CBD bundle pack. One lucky fan every single week leading up to Skankfest. infinitecbd.com/skankfest. And if you decide to purchase anything at InfiniteCBD.com, make sure you use the promo code RAP15. Save 15% off your whole order. Enjoy it. Infinite CBD is the shit. They don't fuck around. They sponsor everything we do. They're a great company with great products. So make sure you guys go support them. Once again, that is InfiniteCBD.com. Use the promo code RAP15. Save yourself 15%. All right, let's get back into it. I want to move on to this. What was this? Who's Brooks Koepka? Who's that?
Brooks Koepka.
He's a golfer. He came second in the Masters this year.
He was beat by Tiger.
Yes.
But you said he's a fan of Gas Digital?
Yeah, he was at Roast Masters at the Stand a couple of times. He said he was a huge fan of you, and I think he's gone golfing with Rich Voss.
Ugh. I like it. I like when fucking people that are doing shit are fans of ours. Good for him. So what happened now? He wins everyone a beer. What happened with this story?
Well, he took a shot from a barge. Sorry, took a shot from, looks like Chelsea Pier, out to a barge. I have photos of it here. And because he sunk the shot on his second try, everybody gets a free Michelob Ultra.
What do you mean all of NYC? What does
all
that
of
mean?
New York City gets a free Michelob Ultra? Shitty beer.
Wow, that's pretty
cool. How do you pick up the beer?
Yeah.
Do you not know?
It will be available. Free beers will be available on May 16th, first day of the PGA Championship. The team at Michelob says the beer drinkers in New York will get a $5 rebate on a Michelob Ultra 6-pack.
And
be able to get a free beer at certain bars from 3 to 6 p.m.
Certain bars. Okay, that's not a bad promo.
If you're an old man alcoholic, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mick Ultra is a shit fucking beer.
If you're ordering a Michelob at 3 p.m.
They're sending a rebate.
From 3 to 6 p.m.
So if you're a steam fitter on your lunch break, go get that free beer. Everybody else is like,
if you look like a healthier
work.
Sean,
you get a 22 ounce of Crazy Horse from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Only at Bodegas.
Only in Washington Heights.
Only in Brownsville.
Go to the bodega. Wink at the cat. You'll get your free 24 ounce of Crazy Stallion.
They put it in the most dangerous spot in New York. They just really come get your free beer.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah, that's good for Brooks.
That's a good promotion, but I hate those free, like, what was it, like Ben and Jerry's will do free cone day?
Yeah.
And you'll see people wait for like 2 hours and be like, that was going to cost you $4.
Not even. Yes. It'd be like $1.99 for a cone.
I agree, dude. It's people like people freak out for free shit. It's insane.
Yeah.
Just, I'd rather have my time
I would pay
back.
$20 to not wait on that line.
It's same here. I'm the same way. There you go, free cone day right there. That might be the original one.
It's sort of fun to do with a kid. You go wait online, play some games, you know. You got to do different things with kids sometimes. That's what happened with you. Do you have a kid?
Also teaching them patience, I guess. I have no patience now, but like it kind of teaches them like, oh, sometimes you wait for stuff.
You look for silly activities to do that don't cost a lot of money with kids, and that's like a time-consuming fun thing. There'll be other kids there. They're excited. They're going to get their free ice cream cone. Doesn't really matter about it.
I would say, dude, when you live in the village, or like live in New York, that line is just college kids.
Yeah.
And it is a sad state of affairs.
I don't do any of that. There's lines right now. If you go try to get a burger from Shake Shack, line like down the block and around the corner.
Madison Square Park.
Madison Square Park was the nuttiest one ever. That was the first outdoor one where it was
it would go down whatever that is. Madison.
People would wait. They'd have an hour lunch break. They would wait 55 minutes on that line.
Scarf it down and go back.
They'd on their way walking back. They would fucking This is
Is that
the 42nd Street one?
Oh, that's the one on 8th Avenue.
Shake Shack
is fantastic.
Yeah,
you got to go during the times of day where no one's going to be there.
Yeah.
That's really it. You go late at night right before closing.
People are creatures of habit. If you go,
But I would never, I just don't have time for any of that. To wait that long on a line, I have no patience.
There's enough of them now where it's loosened up a little bit. Like, depends on what, you go lunch anywhere in Manhattan. You're doomed anywhere in Manhattan.
Yeah.
But if you, there's so many Shake Shacks. There was just that one, right? That Madison Square Park one.
Was that the first one ever?
I don't think it was the first one ever, but it was the first one in Manhattan.
Yeah, they're big now.
It is the first one ever, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It is. Yeah, oh, yeah. It was. I thought they might have started somewhere else.
They're out in California now, too, in L.A. And
are
really,
they?
Yeah, they haven't really jumped on board with it. People talk about, like, Umami Burger. And Umami Burger was fire, though. And then I had another burger. Oh, dog. Oh, my God. I got to text my buddy. I don't remember where he took me, but it was, oh, my God. It was the fucking best burger I've ever had. No. 162 Shake Shacks total across the 12 countries, 20 U.S. states, plus Washington, D.C. Where's the first one? Does it say?
See, if I put Shake Shack to me, I think it's better than In-N-Out. People get mad at me for saying
that. Oh, that's by far better.
Yeah.
Shake Shack is the best fast food burger.
Yeah.
Period. If you consider whatever you want to consider fast food burger, walk up, grab a burger and fries. That.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't even know many burgers that are better just in general sitting down to it in a restaurant. The one over here is really good. Brindle Room.
So good. I just had it for the first time the other day.
Oh, you had it for the first time?
Yeah.
But not as good as Shake Shack.
I've never had a Shake Shack burger.
You stupid
and
whore.
The first one was Madison Square Park.
You stupid bitch.
Oh, that was the first one?
That was the first one. Yeah.
That's why. Wow.
Shannon, guess what I'm buying you today for lunch?
What?
Nothing.
Get a real job, bitch. Yeah. I'm buying you Shake Shack for lunch.
Really?
Yep.
Thanks.
Shake Shack for lunch. Ooh. Not for you. You're going to get it, but you're going to give it to Shannon. Remember how you didn't buy me a fucking burrito last time, you piece of shit? And I really mean this. You're literally going to pick Shannon up Shake Shack. I swear to God. And you're not. You buy it yourself. I'm not buying you lunch. I would buy you lunch if you would have brought me that burrito back.
You are so petty. I love it.
No, I'm not. That's a fact. This is called payback. It's retribution. Yeah, I'll buy you Shake Shack today, Shannon. The fucking shakes are great. The fries.
Shakes are great.
Dude, the Shake Shack burger there's nothing else like it. There's not another burger like it.
Well, there's like the big restaurant, consistent. Like a Minetta Tavern burger, but I like the Shake Shack kind better. Well, that's like a sit-down burger place. You hate it? You don't like it?
I've been to Minetta Tavern. Like that's
it?
Not
I've never had it. Is it not good?
Doggy, it's fine. It's Ooh. Not that. The problem with the Brindle Room is they use organic meat, and organic meat tastes like socks. I don't know what it is. There's a little bit of a sock taste to it for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I just whenever I eat organic beef, like fucking...
Kobe?
The guy who won the hot dog eating competition?
Kobayashi.
His burgers. He makes a really good burger. Whenever I eat that beef, it just has a weird like flavor to it. I don't know what it is. But Shake Shack is the shit.
Do you remember when they used to have a good burger? Remember Good Burger they used to have?
Yeah, yeah. That was at Union Square.
And it was they had a couple of them that were based off of the
TV show.
Wait, yeah.
There was a real, actual... Good Burger?
Yeah.
It was like, I think they didn't have the rights, so they just like called it Good Burger and kind of made a logo that
And I would
like
call all their employees Kenan. They did not like it. They were like, that's racist.
Do you want to be a Cal?
they were okay. I mean, there's Five Guys is great, but it's not...
Five Guys is great, but it's not Shake Shack. Shake Shack.
Five Guys is just—it's a solid.
That's fine.
If you fucking want to have a good burger, you know what you're getting. It's good.
Yeah.
It is good. But what are we talking about? Are we going to pretend that it's even in the same fucking category? If you've been at Shake Shack, go get a Shake Shack burger right now. Mm. The Secret Shake Shack signature burger. What is it?
It goes through everything. It goes through the meat, the pan, the bun,
the buttered roll. They don't fuck around, dude. I get, you know what else is good there? They have a stuffed fucking mushroom burger for vegetarians. That's retarded. You can get the stuffed mushroom with cheese oozing out of it on top of a burger. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Suck a dick, LA.
And now they
the
have
fact that you're not
sandwich.
Jumping on
Yo, the
board
fried
with
chicken
this.
Sandwich is really good.
I never had it.
Oh, it's good.
I gotta get that.
I'm getting hungry right now thinking about it. I'm supposed to be back on my diet, and now I'm definitely getting a fucking Shake Shack burger tonight. There's no questions asked.
It's the mushroom burger.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, that kind of looks like a real burger.
Yeah. It's
what do you think about the Impossible Burger? I haven't had one of those.
So either. I think that's stupid.
What's the Impossible
Burger? It's really like
burger?
It believes.
McDonald's is rolling it out. It's the meatless meat that it's like made in a lab.
Oh, right.
It's all veggie, but it bleeds like a real
plant-based. That's right. I brought my son to White Castle yesterday for the first time ever, and he loved it.
He did?
Fucking loved it. Tried to get no onions, no pickles. I literally just told him no.
He was like, that's good, though, because...
Dad, I don't want onions and pickles. I was like, you don't know what the fuck you want.
Can you get White Castle without onions?
Yeah.
But it's made on onions.
What do you mean?
They grill it on top of onions.
No, they do it without the onions. They can do it.
Oh, so you're just a pain in the ass.
He's a pain.
Can you change the way you make hamburgers?
It's 45 minutes later.
He's like, no onions. I was like, James, you don't know what you're talking about. You like onions and pickles. You just fucking have the idea in your head. And his mom will just like let him do that. So I was like, trust me. If you don't like it, I'll get you another one. Fucking takes one bite. Falls in love. That was it. He was over.
Really?
I introduced him to White Castle. We smoked a blunt afterwards. It was fucking.
This kid's growing up fast.
Yeah, dude. He's really crushing it.
You're like, I'm going to spank you on the knee.
Hell yeah.
You
know,
but... He sues you $9.5 million.
That was fucking delicious.
It's good that you do that because I wish I didn't have that as a kid, and I'm a picky eater because of it.
Yeah.
Like I like plain stuff. I would have been like, hey, I don't want pickles on it either.
Yeah, you have to just sort of make this because they don't really know, and they have to be introduced to flavors, and they don't really get it. So, but my kid's he's not a picky eater. My kid eats sushi. He's 6 years old. He eats fucking
Pussy.
Spicy tuna rolls.
Yeah, that's great.
Fucking really anything. You know,
that's fantastic.
He's not a picky eater at all. Good kid, really good kid. Got his first submissions in jiu-jitsu class the other day.
Nice.
Really excited. Really excited. Caught a little black kid in a rear naked choke twice. Kid wasn't even in the class.
We have a little police officer. NYPD James.
This kid, first of all, my kid's the youngest kid in the class. The class was supposed to be 7 to 12 years old. My son's 6, but he's tall. And it's the closest jiu-jitsu place to me. So they only taught 7-year-olds. So I was like, look, can I bring him? He's as big as most 7-year-olds. And they were like, all right, we'll see if he listens, because 6 is a little too young to really understand.
Right.
The,
yeah. Yeah.
But he's the most in-tune kid in the class. He's so focused on what the teacher says, hanging off of every word of what the teacher says. Just really, yeah, there he is.
Does he like it?
Him raising
Does he
his hand.
Enjoy
loves it.
It too?
Loves it. Him asking questions. You know, it's really cool because, like, if you go to the Thursday class, there's like 4 or 5 kids in the class. So it's really, really hands on. And Saturdays, or he goes 2 to 3 times a week. He's really into it. But he's very, like, timid. And it's a real jiu-jitsu class, okay? So if you've ever taken jiu-jitsu, the way most classes work is there's a warm-up session, and then you start drilling a technique, right? Maybe it's a takedown, maybe it's a submission, whatever it is. And then you guys have a period of rolling at the end of class for 15, 20 minutes. There we go. Here's him doing seatbelt position.
Oh, there you go. Wow. Cool.
Such a cutie.
Well, he's getting big. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, he's a big boy. So, but they actually spar at the end of class. It's the only martial arts where they're going to actually have 7, 8-year-old kids sparring. They're going for, they're using the martial art to fight each other in the sense of the martial art. You can't really do that with boxing or taekwondo with kids. They're going to punch each other in the head, right?
Right, right.
But with jiu-jitsu, they're putting the, they warm up their bodies, they learn a technique, and then they apply it right there and then. They go into, you know, where they're really wrestling with it, they're trying to submit each other, and they apply it. So the just you look at like the structure of it, it's just really practical. It's really good. And last Saturday was the first day where he sort of put it together because he's been getting position. He's been, you know, understanding it.
Right.
But this past Saturday, he got dude, he got the back mount on this kid and he put him in a rear neck. He was looking at me too. I was like, Jim, I'm such a dad, dude. It's so funny. And he just came in, just sunk it right in. The kid flattened the kid out. The kid had no idea what was going on. I was like, rah! It was great. Twice. I'm so fucking happy for this kid. I wish I had a father that would have put me in a martial arts.
There.
You can't get my third Zach attack against me, you cunt. Man, I really wish relentless. I had anybody in my
it
life.
It feels like he lives inside your brain.
I know. If me and Zach were one person, we'd be the perfect...
A successful comedian.
Yeah, perfect comedian with some semblance
drive
of
drive and talent.
But yeah, so... I had nobody that kind of, like, when I did taekwondo as a kid, or I did just for fun baseball, or I did any of these things, I would go to 3 sessions, and then I would go, oh, I'm bored, I'm not good at it. Of course you're not good at it. You're not going to be good at something in 3 sessions.
Right.
If you're not, you know, if your father's not throwing a football around with you your whole childhood, right, and I didn't have a dad,
right.
How would I possibly expect to be able to throw a football? Like, you know.
Right.
But nobody.
To learn it in 3
My junkie mother didn't have the wherewithal to even explain that concept to me, which is like, you know, which is my son. Like, yeah, these times where in the beginning it was like, oh, maybe I don't want to go. I was like, no, James, we're going to go because you said you wanted it. And you're learning right now. You're supposed to be bad at this right now. But you're going to get a little better. You're going to notice you feel a little stronger. That kid feels a little. And then he starts to see it come to fruition and it's very practical. And then he gets a submission. Then he goes, oh, shit. Now I'm passionate about this because I have now achieved a goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hitting a goal, that feeling of hitting a goal. It is something that it's something that's not really discussed, right?
Right?
And how important it is to achieve a goal, hit it, go through it, go above and beyond it, set an expectation, and actually hit it. That concept was really never put into me as a child. Nobody ever really like explained to me how important that was, and sort of the lesson, and that the endorphins that are released when you fucking actually accomplish them and actually hit a goal, and sort of how that becomes a foundation and building blocks to do bigger and better things. So I just wish I sort of had that as a kid. You know, forget anything else, the sports or, but more specifically with jiu-jitsu, it's like my kid is now learning a skill set, which, I mean, he'll be able to just protect himself, his family, others around him. He'll have, you know, just a psychological edge over almost anybody that he encounters.
It'll make him more measured, too. Like, it'll probably keep him calmer.
He doesn't need to prove anything.
Right.
Guys like you or I or Zach, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know, but I think back all the time, the amount of times that I should have fucking defended myself or punched somebody in the face when I was a kid or.
Oh,
and
sure.
These things.
I have a ton.
They weigh down on you and they wear on you and, you know, eventually you're
they
fucking walking through the streets and, you know, freaking out at cab drivers because you didn't deal with your shit when you were a kid in the right way.
Absolutely.
Beyond all that, though, James is also going to learn, and this is sounds stupid, but I think half the reason you put kids in sports is to teach them time management and shit like that, because he's gonna have to one day he's gonna have sports and school and whatever and his social life, and he's got to balance all those things and get them all done.
I agree. It's
look at kids that didn't grow up with a ton of activities.
Yeah.
They don't know how to accomplish
manage
tasks
in
a time frame.
Yeah, there was an interesting article that I read. It was a mom wrote an article about how to raise a successful child. If you could look it up, it's the mom, she's like the CEO of maybe YouTube. I know it's the CEO of 32andMe, or no, not 32andMe. Is that the name of the website?
No, 23andMe.
23andMe, sorry. That's Shannon's version.
I would like to be 32.
I raised two CEOs and a doctor. These are my secrets to parenting successful children.
You know what? This is all well and good. This is a little bit pompous, though. A little bit shitty.
No, I love this. Really? I loved this article. I read it. I thought it was fucking great. One of the things that I started to implement immediately from it was she talks about how when her kid was like five, she would send them next door to the store to purchase things and to actually go through the process of having real transactions, giving money, counting change. It was just like, immediately I was just like, there was something cool about sort of giving them that responsibility and understanding the value of the dollar, like really understanding in a very practical way.
Starting to do adult things that aren't super adult.
Yeah, even speaking to my child like he's an adult. I use, look, it's not like I have this fucking crazy robust vocabulary, but I don't speak to my kid, you know, like he's a baby. I do sometimes like I'm loving with him, but we have conversations. I use words all the time that I know that he's not going to know.
Yeah.
All the time.
Because he'll hear it over and over.
Like grandma or grandpa. He was waiting for you, man. I literally looked at you. I was like, I'm going to set it up, Zach. Just so I can get it in there.
I'm bored with your tragedy. I'm over it.
That was good. Grandma, grandma.
But no, I really do. Like words that he's not going to understand. And then he asked me, he was like, what does that mean? And it becomes this little game of, it's for me, to be able to articulate something to a six-year-old in a way that he's going to understand it, it's also kind of challenging, you know? And I understand people are just fucking lazy and they don't want to go through that, but I think that also it's taught me a lot of patience when you're talking about you having not a lot of patience at all and taking your kid online. Yeah, dude, it's taught me an insane amount of patience. I used to be fucking really crazy when it came to, like, getting things done. And, you know, the first time my son said to me, it's like, Dad, we're going to be late. It's just not a big deal. Calm down. It, like, hit me. Because I would like be very like flustered, like we gotta go, you know. And then, you know, I see his energy, like if we're running late, I saw him getting like literally like on edge. And I was like, that's fucked up. Yeah. I was like, I have to train myself in order to not do that. And now if I'm running late, I literally take a breath and I go, it literally doesn't matter if I show up at school late. He can be dropped off 5 minutes late. It's just not a big deal. And I have to remind myself, because I'll work myself into like a really, really big frenzy.
And then it flips over on him.
On him, yeah. Right, he has this anxiety. He's carrying my fucking crazy anxiety.
Absolutely.
Because my dumb bitch mom didn't teach me any of this stuff. Thanks.
Well, I think everybody has that. Everybody has those parts in their parents that they don't realize they're handing over when they're handing over.
Of course, it all is.
Absolutely.
We are just mirroring and mimicking everyone that we were raised around. We walk like them. We talk like them. You know, it's like, it's why I, you know.
And I love I don't have kids, but I love the idea that the people that talk to their kids, like, not like they're adults, but talk to them normal. Because I've seen so many times where you just watch people talk with baby talk when the kid's way too old for it. And it might be the creepiest thing in the world.
My sister just asked me, she was like, we're going to Disney World in July. And she's like, do you want to get James a stroller?
But he's six.
He's six.
Yeah.
People do this. They get their kids strollers because they're lazy and they don't want to deal with their kid either complaining or wanting to take a break. So they throw them in a stroller and those wheel them around and they get to do what they want to do. But I think having a moment.
It would be less embarrassing to break his neck and get him a wheelchair. Because then at least he's injured and not maybe retarded.
At least it makes sense. Right, exactly. Yeah, because think about it that way, dude. Like, he'll be in first grade this year?
Yeah.
Right. First grade, I remember thinking, like, a stroller. I wouldn't be near a stroller.
I was buying my mother cigarettes from the local store when I was in the first grade.
But in all fairness, you did it in a stroller.
I would walk to the deli, Jose's Deli, and buy her cigarettes and lotto tickets.
Just like the kids in the article.
Yeah. My mom was really doing a good job.
Oh, wow. I used to go to Belmont when I was six. I really did. I didn't bet, but I was there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, she goes on to just, she doesn't really mention peaceful parenting in the article, but she sort of alludes to it, which, you guys know how I feel about that, but I mean that's another side
of it
as well.
Parent. Is that the just the chill out factor of like the just calming
don't
down?
Hit or yell at your kids?
Oh yeah,
yeah, you know, which sounds like logic, but you know it's not.
But I no, most it makes, people, a lot of people, nobody's yelling at, like, nobody's making a diabolical plan to yell at their kids. I don't think. I think
they're not making the anti-diabolical plan to not yell at their kids.
Right.
They're not understanding the effects that it has when you scream at a child when you're supposed to be protecting them, when you strike them or scream at them, what it does to them psychologically.
Yeah. Oh, dude, if somebody yells at me now, I go into a fucking anxiety spiral.
Dude, really? It's great. Like, having also the fear of being hit or punished regularly. You know, that it wears on you, especially, I think people don't talk about it, but you talk about rape culture and you talk about the culture of men being shitty to women. And then you look at the fact that, you know, right now, 70% of Americans still spank their kids. Back when we were raised, it was like 95%. It was like crazy, right?
70%?
70% still spank. Yeah. Still spank on some level. Yeah. As young as one. Jeez. As young as one.
One?
Yep. Hitting babies, which is fucking batshit. But then you realize that 80% of the disciplining at home came from the moms. And then you realize there's this weird cycle that nobody's talking about. This psychological thing where you have moms hitting young boys as babies and then young boys growing up and being really shitty towards women. Mm. And it's a cycle that nobody's, it's not even being addressed. It's not even being discussed at all, that there could be some sort of correlation with that. Because I know that I have my own issues with women. My mom was extremely abusive physically and emotionally. I have to fight against my instincts to laugh at fucking fucked up things, you know, the kind of jokes that I like and the things that it comes from this place. We make these jokes about Shannon. No, I don't want, Shannon's my friend, like on another level. I mean, if Shannon stopped working here tomorrow, me and Shannon would be friends, I think, forever, right? If somebody ever hurt Shannon in any way, they would fucking, I mean, there'd be 100 guys at the studio that would stomp them to death, right? But at the same time, it does tickle me to make these fucking jokes about hurting Shannon. I know it's wrong.
Yeah, but it's still
but
in your brain.
There's a lot of people who feel the same way. There's a lot of people who laugh at that type of stuff. And I think most of those kids were probably spanked by their moms. I think they were probably, when they were 2 years old, they were being hit into thinking it's funny when women deal with pain too. I just think there's something there. And I think it's a theory that nobody's really touching on. And when I die, all my theories, I have a lot of theories. All of my theories will fucking come out, and they're going to be like, this guy was a goddamn brilliant.
They're going to be in her next dissertation.
Yeah, that's
goddamn right.
My second book. Spanking doesn't even help. I'm terrified of my parents, and they never hit me or even really yelled at me. Mm. But they were just around a lot and disciplined me, and I'm 30. I'm terrified of them.
My son, if I count down from five, I've never spanked my son. He's never even had a tap on the hand. Not once ever in his life. He's never even had a tap. I've never screamed at my son. I've literally never raised my voice really at my son. Like, he, you know, I'll get stern. I do a Howard Stern impression. I'm like, ooh, James. Hey. I get stern and
a Howard Stern impression. He only sees him 3 days a week.
Holy shit. My God.
Is anything sacred to you, Zach?
Zach had like, there's like four or five closers on this show alone.
Doesn't kill.
Holy cow.
So,
That's great.
But every time I'm making a good point, Zach comes in.
Really? That was fucking pretty brilliant.
Shuts my life down.
That was really quick. Jesus Christ.
But if he isn't doing something, if I wanted to clean his room, like, James, you got to clean your room. He's like, no, I don't want to. I'm like, James, I'm not going to ask again. Right there is usually good. If he gives me another, I'm like, all right, I'm going to count to five. I've never gotten to five. Right. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Yeah. He has no idea. None of us
know. You don't know what comes after five.
It's fucking. I don't even have a plan for what's going to happen after five. Like, all he's going to do is call me on my shit one day.
Yeah, dude, that's 11. 11 years old. That is going to be. Yeah, what happens at five?
Yeah, I never really thought this far.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Fuck it. Count.
That's the secret. Is if he makes it to five, he just wins. I let him not clean his room.
No onions and pickles, I guess. I don't know.
No onions and pickles. It's what you want. That's what five is. It's a plain burger. There it is.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, you're training him to fight and that there's no consequences.
And look, it gets preachy. Okay. I know I'm getting preachy. I gave Dave Smith shit about his tweeting about abortion so much.
Well, that's a little bit different than parenting.
It's also
methods.
Twitter. It's a different thing because, like, it's just this very short insight. Like, people don't understand the nuance of Dave's opinion, how he's changed, and, you know, having a kid has changed his opinion. And I think it comes off as a little bit harsher than necessary.
Well, he takes a hard line, like said. That's a hard line. I'm like, for four spanking your kids, you might be like, all right, good point.
But there's no good point for it. And people do give me pushback because people think, here's what they do. They take it very personally. So I talk about this.
They spank their kids, that's why.
Not because they spank their kids, their parents spank them.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go, I love my parents. My mom's amazing.
They can't. Like an indictment.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking at it like you're saying that their parents were bad parents, and I am. They should have known better. They should have known better. You knew better. You did. I knew better when I was five and my mom would hit me. I would think in my head, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
My dad hit me once and saw what it did and never hit me again.
Really?
Yeah. Hit me like, it was, yeah, it was, yeah.
What was the reason?
I want to hear the story really quick. Mm-hmm. All right. So what happened? It's all right. I'm like in second grade. I'm coming home on the bus and these older kids tell me to give this little handwritten, hand-drawn book to this little girl on the bus. And they were, like, in fifth grade. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. And it had, like, stick figures fucking. Like, that was the book.
Right.
So she, in the bus ride home, she got off at her stop, went home, showed her mom the book. Her mom called the school. School called my dad. My dad worked overnights at Rikers Island. Woke him up and said, your son gave this book to this girl. Oh, this is all while I'm coming home on the bus. So I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's the worst. So I get home, and my dad goes, sit down. And I'll never forget, I was in the rocking chair, giant rocking chair. He goes, did you just give a book to a little girl on the bus just now? I go, there's no way that you know this. Yeah. So in my head, I go, it's also my first experience lying, because I go, no. Boom!
Wow.
Let me ask you again. Did you give a book to a little girl on the bus? I go, no. Boom. Third time, I was like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done. So, but after that, he never touched me again.
Yeah. I mean, look, if I had to guess, if you went and talked to your dad about the story, today he would probably admit that that was a mistake.
He can. He's dead. But yeah, normally would.
Can we get a Ouija board?
A Ouija board? You want to do it that way?
Is there a Ouija board app? There has to be, right?
I absolutely think he would admit it was a mistake.
Because it was a mistake.
He almost did it back then without, in so many words. Like, yeah. You know, like he you could see.
That wasn't the way that he dealt with things.
It wasn't the way he wanted to deal with it. It was awkward for him to do it.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing. You hear that a lot. People are like, oh, you know, it's harder for the parent. And it's like, dude, if you are psychologically struggling with hitting your kid, your body is telling you something.
Yeah.
Your body's saying, don't do, what are you doing? Yeah. If you're having a fuck, because your instinct, right? What that is, right? Is your instinct is to protect that child.
Right.
You're going against your instinct. And your instincts about parenting typically aren't going to be wrong. That instinct to protect and love that kid is the absolute right thing to do. And I always tell that to people because they go like, oh, you're saying, I was like, no. Your parents made a mistake and they were probably raised that way as well. And they were probably raised a hell of a lot worse. My mom would tell me all the time how much she was abused. That's how I know my mom was raped when she was 12. Like, I knew that when I was like 7 because my mom was beating me talking about how she had it so much worse. And it's like, I should be thanking God that she's only hitting me with
step above
weapons and close fists and not actually raping me.
Yeah.
Be glad you don't have a stepfather.
Right here. Okay. So can we get Sean's?
My dad? You want to try
ask your question. Was it a mistake when you hit me? This is for Sean's dad.
Uh-oh, let's see. This might go bad.
N-I-G.
N-A.
It's Sean's dad.
I told you weren't going to
write it. Write down these letters.
T.
Next.
Next? What does that mean?
W.
Next week. Ah.
E.
So it says, when are you going to hit me? That's what it's taken as. They're taking the question as, when are you going to hit me? Yeah, this Ouija board's retarded. It's bad shit.
Next week. All right.
Do you have to put your finger, you have to actually touch the Ouija board with the mouse?
The mouse, yeah.
And then
it
moves.
You click it once and it goes to a letter?
Yeah.
That's definitely a spirit. That's my dad.
It's your dad's spirit. I like
my dad's spirit.
I like. Do you maybe ever have that Ouija board app ready to go at all times? Because we want to
find a better one.
We want to communicate with the dead regularly on the show, and that's sort of an angle that we have never really explored. So, look, this has been a fucking great show today. I really loved having you guys on. Both
before we wrap, I'm sorry. The fans.
No, we end every show with an actual hip hop song. So drop that beat.
Before you guys rap, may I?
Go.
The fans really want an update on Zach Scar.
Ooh. Let's see.
Ooh.
Whoa.
It is way better.
Yeah, it's just going to be a fold at one point.
It literally looks like a mouth.
It does.
I look like one of those faces that there's another face.
You look like a Snapchat filter.
You look like the Grumpy Coffee logo.
It doesn't hurt or anything. It's just a scar, right?
Yeah.
It's still a little, it's probably tender, right?
Yeah. It's
a little tender to touch.
That's not right here.
The wrestling thing? That's the wrestling? Yeah. Oh, that's pretty, that was not that long ago.
Yeah, it was like a month ago.
Oh, that looks good for a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a similar scar, but way tinier. Just right in the center of my forehead.
His kid did it.
Count I remember one time, one of the worst I've ever felt in my entire life.
Five.
Yeah. My mother was beating the shit out of me for something. I don't even remember what it was. My mom would fuck me up for anything, okay? Like, for anything. And what my mom would do is she would use weapons regularly. And one of the weapons...
She's like, Eliza Dushku is suing me. Come here, Lewis.
She grabbed... We were poor, so she would beat me with broomsticks, but it was those shitty metal tube brooms.
Oh, yeah.
So eventually it would break over me, and then it would be sort of... It would be bendy for a while, and you'd have to sweep with a bendy.
So you got hit with dollar store weapons.
Dollar store,
like ECW arena.
Yes, yes, exactly yeah. that. Now,
Jesus Christ.
So what happened was my mom, these shitty broom handles, my mom at one point had beaten me with in the past, but it had broken. It broken in half. So now there was.
Now she had nunchucks.
She had two fucking, she had two pieces of a broom. And she started hitting me with one. Now, what you have to understand, this is just a metal tube with a sharp end, okay? So she's hitting me. My sister's basically cheering her on next to me. I grab the broomstick. I have to be 13 years old. My sister's 15. 12 or 13 years old. My sister was in high school, just started high school. My sister was already like self-conscious, really quiet, fucking.
Did she hit your sister too or not?
Oh, yeah. She would beat my sister up all the time. But I grabbed the broom out of her hand and I pulled it and it stabbed my sister in the face.
Oh.
And it lifted a flap of skin off of her cheek.
Oh my God.
That peeled back. And like, I felt so guilty about that for so long.
Even though it was just.
It was 100% my mom's fault.
Yeah, yeah.
100% my mom's fault. But I felt so guilty about that for so long. And.
Does she have a little scar?
Yeah, a little scar now. You can barely see it. But I mean, literally, her, like, these years in high school where she's already self conscious. Now she's got to, like, wear her hair in front of her face. She's like, fucking.
So she's so pissed?
She wasn't upset with me. Yeah. I think she was upset with my mom. Me and my sister are very close at this point. But it was like a really fucked up thing. And that always stuck out with me as well. It's like there was no responsibility on my mom's end what was going on there.
Right.
It was a really shitty way to like be to your kids, no matter what way you want to slice it.
Right.
You know, so I look at that.
There's no defense of that, of anything you've said, you know.
I mean, some people do. Some people look at their parents like, oh, well, you know, they were.
I think when they do when they're defending the spanking, I think they don't think of it as long lines of beating the kids. They think of it as two different things.
Yeah,
but when people
but even spanking
realize,
when to a 2-year-old child or a 1-year-old child, simply that right there, that's sort of a fucking
beating them in the face.
That's
yeah.
beating with a bat. You understand? Like this, like they're looking at you for protection. They're looking at you to hold them and help them. You know what I'm saying? And it's like you're striking them because you're not acting how they want them to act. You send this subconscious thing into them where that's the way you get people to act is by using violence or using force against them. And we have this society where people are blaming video games and TV shows and all this other stuff, and you go like, well, maybe it's parents hitting their kids. Maybe we're telling people the way you deal with things in life is by being violent towards them. The way you get people to act is by being violent towards them. I all of these things, in my opinion, I think if you made it illegal to touch your children at any time, to put your hands on them in any sense, I think that would alleviate a lot of different things, a lot of issues that, and it seems like you can't even talk about it. It's a very big, like, oh my God, you can't say that about people. The peaceful parenting thing is such a divisive issue. There's people turning this off right now because they're pissed off listening
to
it.
How is that divisive? Because it was a huge scandal when, who was it who hit his kid with like a switch? And...
It's a switch though because he was bleeding. I mean, he put bruising on his genitals.
Who did that?
If he had smacked
Adrian
his...
Peterson.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson.
If he had just smacked his hand, I don't think anybody would have had anything. Yeah. Kelly Clarkson came out, I believe that was her, right? And she came out and said she spanks her kids all the time and, you know.
Yeah, people got mad at her too.
On the fear of God. But not really, because you're talking about like a few people in New York and LA that are in the media that like, you know, are somewhat in tune. Most people, if you talk to them about this, most people go like, yeah, you can give a little spank. We're not talking about beating a kid. We're talking about a spank.
Yeah. To be honest, I probably had that outlook for a while too. But the more you hear about it, it kind of changes your mind.
Of course. Well, that's the outlook that, that what's his name had? James Bond. The first one.
Sean Connery. Yeah. Oh, well, he was like,
oh, just give them a little smack if they're not acting how you like it. But that's how people treat children. Pull up the Sean, we'll end with this. Pull up the Sean Connery quote, which we've played on the show before.
I think it's him and Barbara Walters?
Yeah. Yeah, him and Barbara Walters. And he's talking.
Yeah, he's not known as like a. Yeah,
he's talking about how if your wife isn't acting accordingly to how you want her to act, that you should be able to smack her. And if you just replace.
Like, all right.
If you replace wife with children, it's just how everyone feels.
Oh, yeah. Look at this.
Did an interview in which he said, It's not the worst thing to slap a woman now and then. As I remember, you said you don't do it with a clenched fist. It's better to do it with an open hand.
How people talk about children.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I didn't love that.
I haven't changed my opinion.
You haven't?
No. Not at all.
You think it's good to slap a woman?
No, I don't think it's good.
You don't think it's bad?
I don't think it's that bad. I think that it depends entirely on the circumstances and if it merits it. Yeah.
What would merit it?
Well, if you have tried everything else. And
it's the stance on spanking.
What?
If you tried everything else.
If you beat her with a phone book already.
Yeah. If an interviewer doesn't know when to change the fucking question.
Yeah, I mean, that stance is how you talk to the average American, how they would say, well, look, you know, you don't hit a child with a closed fist, a little smack. It can be, you know, if you've tried every other approach and there's nothing else and the child isn't listening, you know, that's how, but people will look at spanking children the same way we look at that.
But
now,
but
in 50 years, when people are talking about how you don't, this is how it's just going to take some time.
But industry standard now is you do not touch them, like as far as professionals go. But back in the day, they might have been like,
women, yeah, or
no,
children.
I'm saying therapists, child care experts, stuff like that.
Even teachers.
No, but I'm saying like there's not one school of thought that you can look up online that were like, hey, we're for a little bit of light spanking.
Nobody is for it. There's no
nobody's for it. That's what
no,
I'm saying.
There's no articles. I found one, and it was like urban mommies.
Oh,
it was like some crazy shit. It was like yo. It started off with yo. That was the article. It's a fucking writer. It's like, yo, that nigga acting up. Shit.
Yeah, so it's like, but I think it's just going to become the norm not to do it. I really
Paul, see if you can find a pro spanking article. See if you can find it. I'm telling you, it was like an urban mommy one, and it was like, they got to learn how to act, yo.
But I think that it's a thing that just never was discussed. I think it was just like, I think even if you were talking about taking care of your kids, there was always this secret part that people are like, yeah, and then you spank them if you need to. Like that, yeah. But that, back, I'm talking like 80s, 90s, like, you know, even in the early 2000s.
Spanking can be an appropriate form of
child. Whoa, that came right up. Look at this.
All right, 2014.
Oh, Adrian Peterson. Yes. Who wrote it?
Jared Pinkleton.
Doctor. Oh, he's a minister.
That's Jared Fried's.
Hold on, back the fuck up. Minister.
He's a minister.
Oh,
that's why.
Yeah, of course, because, I mean, those like religious books on how to discipline your child.
What was it, Save the Rod, Spare the Child, or the other way around?
Yeah, yeah, there was a...
Spare the Rod, Save the Child.
Sorry, I don't know.
I don't even know either.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, oh, this guy also look at this fucks children.
Yeah, you don't spank with one finger out.
Yeah. All right, look, this has been a great show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you guys follow everyone on social media. And go see them live, right? Go download all their podcasts. Let them know that Real Ass Podcast sent you. Love having Sean Donnelly and Jess Fleischer. Great job hanging out with the boys. I know we get a little bit fucking creepy in here, but you know what? You did a good job today.
Oh.
Wasn't that bad.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I figured she would run out of here screaming halfway through the show. So
no. You need to roast battle stuff. Yeah.
That is true. We're not as harsh as roast battle. I'm sure thinking about how many times people called you like fucking a Jew face whore or whatever.
Oh my God. No one called me a horse today. Personal victory.
A horse they go for. Okay. Yeah, that's mean. We did that with Chrissy Mayer last week. When Shane Gillis told Chrissy Mayer that she looked like the logo from the.
How did we not realize her last name is Mayer?
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, no. All right, we're going to get Chrissy back on just to make that Mayer joke right. All right, we'll check you guys next week.
That's all, folks.